Her role and responsibilities were clear-cut there. But playing parent to Nana? Nana had always been so full of life, so full of energy that until a few months ago, it had been inconceivable to Beth that Nana would ever slow down. And she was doing well, really well, especially considering a stroke. But what was going to happen the next time Nana wanted to do something that Beth honestly believed wasn't in her best interest? Something simple, like driving at night, for instance. Nana couldn't see as well as she used to, and what was going to happen in a few years when Nana insisted that she wanted to drive to the grocery store after work? She knew that in the end, she'd handle these situations when the time came, but she dreaded it. It had been hard enough to keep Nana in check this summer, and that was when her physical problems were obvious, even to Nana. What was going to happen when Nana didn't want to admit to them? Her thoughts were interrupted by the sight of Nana's truck slowly rolling up the drive and coming to a stop near the back entrance to the kennel. Logan got out and went around to the bed of the truck. She watched him sling a 50-pound bag of dog food over his shoulder and head inside. When he emerged, Zeus was trotting beside him, nosing at his hand. Beth figured that he must have kept Zeus inside the office while he'd been in town. It took him a few more minutes to unload the rest of the dog food, and when he was done, he started toward the house. By then, dusk had begun to fall. The faint echo of thunder sounded in the distance, and Beth could hear the crickets beginning their evening song. She suspected the storm would hold off, with the exception of a couple of scattered showers. It had been miserably dry all summer. But the air, carried from the ocean, was scented with pine and salt, and she flashed on memories from a beach long ago. She could remember seeing spider crabs scuttling before beams from the flashlights that she and Drake and Grandpa were holding. Her mom's face illuminated by the glow of the small bonfire her dad had started. The sight of Nana's marshmallow catching fire as they toasted them for s'mores. It was one of the few memories she had of her parents, and she wasn't even sure how much of it was real. Because she'd been so young, she suspected that Nana's memories had become fused with her own. Nana had told her the story of that night countless times, perhaps because it was the last time they'd all been together. Beth's parents had died in an auto accident only a few days later. "Are you all right?" Distracted by her memories, Beth hadn't noticed that Logan had reached the porch. In the fading light, his features seemed softer than she remembered.
"Yeah, I'm fine." She straightened up and smoothed her blouse. "I was just thinking."
"I have the keys to the truck," he said, his voice quiet. "I wanted to drop them off before I went home." When he held them out, she knew she could simply thank him and say goodnight, but maybe because she was still upset that Nana had made her decision to leave without talking to her about it first, or maybe because she wanted to make her own decision about Logan, she took the keys and deliberately held his gaze.
"Thanks," she said.
"Long day for you, huh?" If he was surprised by her invitation to talk, he didn't show it. "It wasn't too bad, and I got a lot done."
"Like regaining the ability to drive legally?" Really?
He offered a lazy smile, among other things.
"Did the brakes give you any problems?"
"Not once I got used to the grinding." Beth grinned at the thought.
"I'll bet the examiner loved that."
"I'm sure he did. I could tell by the wincing." She laughed, and for a moment neither of them said anything. On the horizon, lightning flashed. It took some time before the thunder sounded, and she knew the storm was still a few miles off. In the silence, she noticed Logan was looking at her with that peculiar déjà vu expression again. He seemed to realize it and quickly turned away. Beth followed his gaze and saw that Zeus had wandered toward the trees. The dog stood at attention, staring at Logan as if to ask, "Do you want to go for a walk?" Emphasizing his point, Zeus barked, and Logan shook his head. "Hold your horses," he called out. He turned back toward Beth.
He's been cooped up for a while and he wants to wander.
Isn't he doing that now?
No. I mean, he wants me to wander with him. He won't let me out of his sight.
Ever?
He can't help it. He's a shepherd, and he thinks I'm his flock. Beth raised her eyebrow.
Small flock?
Yeah, but it's growing. He's really taken to Ben and Nana.
Not me?
She pretended to look wounded. Logan shrugged. You haven't thrown a stick for him.
That's all it takes.
He's a cheap date. She laughed again. Somehow she hadn't expected him to have a sense of humor. Surprising her, he motioned over his shoulder. Would you like to walk with us? For Zeus, it's almost as good as throwing a stick.
Oh, it is, huh?
She parried, stalling. I don't make the rules. I just know what they are, and I'd hate for you to feel left out. She hesitated briefly before accepting that he was just trying to be friendly. She glanced over her shoulder.
I should probably let Nana and Ben know I'm going.
You can, but we won't be gone long. Zeus just wants to go to the creek and splash around for a few minutes before we go home. Otherwise, he gets hot. He rocked on his heels, hands in his pockets. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
They stepped off the porch and headed down the gravel path. Zeus trotted ahead of them, checking every now and then to make sure they were following. They walked side by side, but with enough distance to ensure they didn't touch accidentally.
Nana told me you're a teacher, Logan inquired.
Beth nodded.
Second grade.
How's it going so far?
It seems like a good group of kids, so far anyway.
And I've already had 7 mothers sign up to volunteer, which is always a good sign. Moving past the kennel, they approached the small trail that led to the creek. The sun had dipped below the trees, casting the trail in shadow. As they walked, thunder boomed again.
How long have you been teaching?
3 years. Do you enjoy it?
Most of the time. I work with a lot of great people, so that makes it easier.
But... She didn't seem to understand his question. He pushed his hands into his pockets and went on. There's always a but when it comes to jobs. Like, I love my job and my colleagues are first rate, but a couple of them like to dress up like superheroes on the weekend and I can't help but wonder if they're nuts. She laughed.
No, they really are great. And I do love teaching. It's just that every now and then there's a student who comes from a challenging family background, and you know there's nothing you can do for them. It's enough to break your heart sometimes.
She walked a few steps in silence.
How about you, though? Do you like working here?
Yeah, I do. He sounded sincere.
But?
He shook his head.
No buts. That's not fair. I told you.
Yes, but you weren't talking to the boss's granddaughter. And speaking of my boss, do you have any idea what time we'll be leaving tomorrow?
She didn't tell you?
No, I figured I'd ask when I dropped off the keys.
She didn't say, but I'd guess that it'll probably be around noon or so.
I'm sure she'll want you to train and exercise the dogs before you leave so the dogs won't get antsy. They'd come within sight of the creek, and Zeus plunged ahead into the water, splashing and barking. Logan and Beth watched him frolic before Logan motioned toward the low branch. Beth took a seat, and he joined her, carefully preserving the space between them. How far is Greensboro from here? He asked.
5 hours, there and back. It's mainly on the interstate.
Do you have any idea when she'll be coming home?
Beth shrugged. She told me a week.
Oh. Logan seemed to digest this. All worked out my foot, Beth thought. Logan was more in the dark than she was.
I'm getting the impression Nana didn't tell you much about this.
Just that she was going and I was driving, so I'd better get my license. Oh, and that I'd be working this weekend.
That figures. Listen, about that. I can handle things this weekend if you have things to do.
It's no problem, Logan said. I don't have anything planned. And there are some things I haven't had a chance to get to yet. Just some little things that need to be fixed.
Like installing an air conditioner in the kennel office?
I was thinking more along the lines of painting the door trim and seeing what I can do to get the office window to open.
The one that's painted shut? Good luck. My grandpa tried to fix it for years. He once worked a whole day on it with a razor blade and ended up wearing Band-Aids for a week. It still wouldn't open.
You're not filling me with confidence here, Logan said.
Just trying to warn you. And it's funny because it was my grandpa who painted it shut in the first place. And he had a whole storage shed full of just about every tool you could imagine. He was one of those guys who thought he could fix anything, but it never quite worked out as well as he'd planned. He was more of a visionary than a nuts and bolts kind of guy.
Have you seen Ben's treehouse and the bridge?
From a distance, Logan admitted. A case in point. It took Grandpa most of one summer to build it, and whenever Ben goes there now, I cringe. How it's lasted this long without blowing over, I have no idea. It scares me, but Ben loves to go there, especially when he's upset or nervous about something. He calls it his hideout. He goes there a lot.
When she paused, he could see her concern, but it lasted only an instant before she came back to him.
Anyway, Grandpa was a prize, all heart and soul, and he gave us the most idyllic childhood you could imagine.
Us?
My brother and me.
She gazed toward the tree, the leaves silver in the moonlight.
Did Nana tell you what happened to my parents?
He nodded, briefly. I'm sorry. She waited, wondering if he'd add anything else, but he didn't.
What was it like? She asked, walking across the country.
Logan took his time answering. It was peaceful, just being able to go where I wanted, when I wanted, with no rush to get there.
It make it sound therapeutic.
It was, I suppose. A sad smile flickered across his face, then was gone, in a way. As he said it, the fading light reflected in his eyes, making them seem as if they were changing color incrementally.
Did you find what you were looking for?
She asked, her expression serious. Logan paused. Yeah, actually I did.
And?
I don't know yet. She evaluated his answer, unsure what to make of it.
Now don't take this the wrong way, but for some reason, I don't see you staying in one place for very long.
Is that because I walked from Colorado?
That has a lot to do with it.
He laughed, and for the first time, Beth was conscious of how long it had been since she'd had a conversation like this. It felt easy and unforced. With Adam, the conversation had been stiff, as though both had been trying too hard. She still wasn't sure how she felt about Logan, but it seemed right that they were finally on friendly terms. She cleared her throat.
Now about tomorrow. I'm thinking that maybe the two of you should take my car, and I'll use the truck to go to school. I'm a little worried about the truck's brakes.
I have to admit I wondered about that, too. But I'm pretty sure I can fix it. Not by tomorrow, but on the weekend.
You can repair cars, too?
Yes, but brakes aren't hard. They need some new pads, but I think the rotors are probably okay.
Is there anything you can't do?
Beth asked, only half feigning amazement. Yes.
She laughed. That's good. But okay, I'll talk to Nana, and I'm sure she'll be fine with using my car. I don't trust those brakes at highway speed. And I'll make sure to check on the dogs when I finish up at school, okay? I'm sure Nana didn't mention that to you either, but I will.
He nodded just as Zeus padded out. He shook off, then moved closer to sniff at Beth before licking her hands.
He likes me.
He's probably just tasting you. Funny, she said. It was the type of thing Drake would have said, and she was struck by the sudden desire to be alone once again. She stood. I should probably be heading back. I'm sure they're wondering where I am. Logan noticed the clouds had continued to thicken.
Yeah, me too.
I want to get home before it starts pouring. The storm seems to be getting closer.
Do you want a ride?
Thank you, but no, that's okay. I like to walk.
Gee, I never would have known, she said with a faint smile.
They retraced their steps to the house, and when they reached the gravel path, Beth pulled a hand out of her jeans pocket and gave a small wave.
Thanks for the walk, Logan.
She expected him to correct her the way he had with Ben, to tell her again he was called Thibault. But he didn't. Instead, he raised his chin slightly and grinned.
You too, Elizabeth.
She knew the storm wouldn't last long, though they desperately needed the rain. It had been a hot, dry summer, and it seemed like the heat would never break. As she sat listening to the last drops of rain falling on the tin roof, she found herself thinking about her brother. Before Drake left, he told her that the sound of rain on their roof was the sound he would miss most of all. She wondered if he often dreamed of these North Carolina summer storms and the dry land where he ended up. The thought made her feel hollow and sad all over again. Nana was in her room packing for her trip, as excited as she'd been in years. Ben, on the other hand, was becoming more and more subdued, which meant he was thinking about the fact that he'd have to spend a big chunk of the weekend with his father, which also meant she'd have a weekend alone at home. Her first solo weekend in a long, long time. Except for Logan. She could understand why both Nana and Ben had been drawn to him. He possessed a quiet confidence that seemed rare these days. It was only after she got back to the house that she realized she'd learned little about him that he hadn't already told her during their initial interview. She wondered whether he'd always been so private, or if it stemmed from his time in Iraq. He'd been there, she'd decided. No, he hadn't said as much, but she'd seen something in his expression when she'd mentioned her parents. His simple response hinted at a familiarity with tragedy and an acceptance of it as an unavoidable aspect of life. She didn't know whether that made her feel better or worse about him. Like Drake, he was a Marine. But Logan was here and Drake was gone. And for that reason, as well as more complicated ones, she wasn't sure that she could ever look at Logan with fairness in her heart. Gazing up at the stars that had emerged between the storm clouds, she felt the loss of Drake like a newly reopened wound. After their parents had died, they had been inseparable, even sleeping in the same bed for a year. He was only a year younger than her, and she distinctly remembered walking to school with him on the first day of kindergarten. To stop his tears, she had promised that he'd make lots of friends, and that she'd wait by the swing set to walk him home. Unlike many siblings, they had never been rivals. She was his biggest cheerleader, and he was her unwavering supporter. Throughout high school, she went to every football, basketball, and baseball game he played, and tutored him when he needed it. For his part, he was the only one who remained unfazed by her dizzying teenage mood swings. The only disagreement they'd ever had concerned Keith, but unlike Nana, Drake kept his feelings largely to himself. But she knew how he felt, and when she and Keith separated, it was Drake she turned to for support as she tried to find her footing as a newly single mother. And it was Drake, she knew, who kept Keith from pounding on her door late at night in the months immediately afterward. Drake had been the one person she'd ever known whom Keith was afraid to cross. By that point, he'd matured. Not only had he been an excellent athlete in virtually every sport, but he'd taken up boxing when he was 12. By 18, he'd won the Golden Gloves in North Carolina 3 times. And he sparred regularly with troops stationed at Fort Bragg and Camp Lejeune. It was the hours he spent with them that first made Drake consider enlisting. He'd never been a great student,
and he lasted only a year at a community college before deciding it wasn't for him. She'd been the only one he talked to about enlisting. She had been proud of his decision to serve his country, her heart bursting with love and admiration the first time she saw him outfitted in his dress blues. Though she had been scared when he was posted to Kuwait and later Iraq, she couldn't help but believe that he was going to make it. But Drake Green never did make it home. She could barely recall the days immediately after she'd learned that her brother had died, and she didn't like to think of them now. His death had left her with an emptiness that she knew would never fill completely, but time had lessened the pain. In the immediacy of his loss, she never would have believed it possible, but she couldn't deny that when she thought of Drake these days, it was usually the happier times she remembered. Even when she visited the cemetery to talk to him, she no longer experienced the agony those visits once aroused. Nowadays, her sadness felt less visceral than her anger. But it felt real right now, in the wake of the realization that she, like Nana and Ben, was drawn to Tebow, too, if only because she felt an ease with him that she hadn't known with anyone since losing Drake. And there was this. Only Drake had ever called her by her given name. Neither her parents, nor Nana, nor Grandpa, nor any of her friends growing up had ever called her anything but Beth. Keith hadn't either. To be honest, she wasn't sure he even knew her real name. Only Drake had called her Elizabeth, and only when they were alone. It was their secret, a secret meant for just the two of them, and she'd never been able to imagine how it would sound coming from someone else. But somehow, Logan made it sound just right. Chapter 11 Tebow. In the fall of 2007, a year after getting out of the Marine Corps, Tebow arranged to meet Victor in Minnesota, a place neither of them had ever been. For both of them, it couldn't have come at a better time. Victor had been married for 6 months, and Tebow had stood beside him as best man. That had been the only time they'd seen each other since they'd been discharged. When Tebow had called to suggest the trip, he'd suspected that time alone was exactly what Victor needed. On the first day, as they sat in a small rowboat on the lake, it was Victor who broke the silence.
"Have you been having nightmares?" his friend asked.
Tebow shook his head.
"No, have you?"
"Yes," Victor said. The air was typically crisp for autumn, and a light morning mist floated just above the water. But the sky was cloudless, and Tebow knew the temperature would rise, making for a gorgeous afternoon.
"The same as before?" Tebow asked.
"Worse," he said. He reeled in his line and cast again.
"I see dead people."
He gave a wry half-smile, fatigue written into the lines of his face.
"Like in that movie with Bruce Willis, The Sixth Sense?"
Tebow nodded.
"Kind of like that." He paused, somber now. "In my dreams, I relive everything we went through, except there are changes. In most of them, I get shot, and I scream for help, but no one comes. And I realize everyone else has been shot as well, and I can feel myself dying little by little."
He rubbed his eyes before going on. "As hard as that is, it's worse when I see them during the day. The ones who died, I mean. I'll be at the store, and I'll see them all, standing there blocking the aisle. Or they're on the ground bleeding as medics work on them. But they never make a sound. All they do is stare at me, like it's my fault they were wounded, or my fault that they're dying. And then I blink and take a deep breath, and they're gone." He stopped. "It makes me think I'm going crazy."
"Have you talked to anyone about it?" Tebow asked.
"No one. Except for my wife, I mean. But when I say those things to her, she gets frightened and starts to cry. So I don't talk to her about it anymore."
Tebow said nothing, and Victor gazed out over the water.
"She's pregnant, you know."
Thibault smiled, grasping at this ray of hope. Congratulations.
Thank you. He's a boy. I'm going to name him Logan.
Thibault sat up straight and nodded at Victor. I'm honored.
It frightens me sometimes, the thought of having a son.
I'm worried I won't be a good father. He stared out over the water. You'll be a great dad, Thibault assured him.
Maybe.
Thibault waited.
I have no patience anymore. So many things make me angry. Little things. Things that shouldn't mean anything, but for some reason they do.
And even though I try to push the anger back down, it sometimes comes out anyway. It hasn't caused me any problems yet, but I wonder how long I can keep pushing it down before it gets away from me. He adjusted the line with his fishing rod.
This happens to you too?
Sometimes, Thibault admitted. But not too often?
No. I didn't think so.
I forgot that things are different for you. Because of the picture, I mean. Thibault shook his head. That's not true. It hasn't been easy for me either. I can't walk down the street without looking over my shoulder or scanning the windows above to make sure no one has a gun pointed at me. And half the time it's like I don't remember how to have an ordinary conversation with people. I can't relate to most of their concerns. Who works where and how much they earn or what's on television or who's dating who. I feel like asking, who cares?
You never were any good at making small talk, Victor snorted.
Thanks.
But as for looking over your shoulder, that's normal. I do that too.
Yeah? But so far,
no guns.
Thibault laughed under his breath. Good thing, huh? Then, because he wanted to change the subject, he asked, how do you like roofing?
It's hot in the summer.
Like Iraq?
No.
Nothing is hot like Iraq, but hot enough. He smiled. I got a promotion. I'm a crew leader now.
Good for you. How's Maria?
Getting bigger, but she's happy. And she is my life. I am so lucky to have married her.
He shook his head in wonder.
I'm glad. There is nothing like love. You should try it. Thibault shrugged. Maybe one day.
Elizabeth. He'd seen something cross her face when he called her Elizabeth. Some emotion he couldn't identify. The name captured her essence far more than plain and simple Beth. There was an elegance to it that matched the graceful way she moved. And though he hadn't planned on calling her that, the syllables had rolled off his tongue as if he'd had no choice. On his walk back home, he found himself replaying their conversation and recalling how natural it felt to sit beside her. She was more relaxed than he'd imagined, but he could sense that, like Nana, she wasn't sure what to think of him. Later, as he lay in bed at night staring at the ceiling, he wondered where, if anywhere, all this would lead. On Friday morning, Thibault made sure everything was taken care of before driving Nana to Greensboro in Elizabeth's car. Zeus rode in the back seat with his head out the window for most of the trip, his ears blown back, intrigued by the ever-changing smells and scenery. Thibault hadn't expected Nana to allow Zeus to ride along, but she'd wave the dog into the car.
Beth won't care. And besides, my case will fit in the trunk.
The drive back to Hampton seemed to go faster, and when he pulled in, he was pleased to see Ben near the house tossing a ball into the air. Zeus bounded toward him expectantly, and Ben sent the ball flying. Zeus zoomed after it, his ears back, tongue hanging out. As Thibault approached, he saw Elizabeth walk out onto the front porch and realized with sudden certainty that she was one of the most beautiful women he'd ever seen. Dressed in a summer blouse and shorts that revealed her shapely legs, she gave a friendly wave when she spotted them, and it was all he could do not to stare.
Hey, Thibault!
Ben called from the yard. He was chasing after Zeus, who pranced with a ball in his mouth, proud of his ability to stay just a couple of steps ahead of Ben no matter how fast the boy ran.
Hey, Ben, how was school?
Boring,
he shouted.
How was work?
Exciting.
Ben kept running.
Yeah, right.
Since Ben had started school, they'd shared pretty much the same exchange every day.
Tebow shook his head in amusement just as Elizabeth stepped down from the porch.
Hi, Logan.
Hello, Elizabeth. She leaned against the railing, a slight smile on her face.
How was the drive?
Not too bad.
Must have been strange, though.
How so?
When was the last time you drove for 5 hours?
He scratched at the back of his neck.
I don't know. It's been a long time.
Nana said you were kind of fidgety as you drove, like you couldn't get comfortable.
She motioned over her shoulder.
I just hung up the phone with her. She's already called twice.
Bored?
No. The first time she called to talk to Ben, to see how school went.
And?
He told her it was boring.
At least he's consistent.
Sure, but I wish he would say something different, like, I learned a lot and have so much fun doing it.
She smiled.
Every mother's dream, right?
I'll take your word for it.
Are you thirsty?
She asked.
Nana left some lemonade in a pitcher. She made it before she left this morning.
I'd love some, but I should probably check on the dog's water first.
Already done.
She turned and went to the door.
She held it open for him. Come on in. I'll be just a minute, okay?
He went up the steps, paused to wipe his feet, and stepped inside. Taking in the room, he noted the antique furniture and original paintings that hung on the wall, like a country parlor, he thought, which wasn't what he had pictured.
Your home is lovely, he called out.
Thank you,
her head poked out from the kitchen.
Haven't you seen it before?
No.
I just assumed you had.
Feel free to take a look around.
She vanished from view, and Tebow wandered around the room, noting the collection of Hummels displayed on the shelves of the dining room hutch. He smiled. He'd always liked those things. On the mantel, he spotted a collection of photographs and moved to study them. Two or three were of Ben, including one in which he was missing a couple of his front teeth. Beside them was a nice shot of Elizabeth in a cap and gown, standing beside her grandparents, and a portrait of Nana and her husband. In the corner, he noted a portrait of a young Marine in dress blues, standing at ease.
The young Marine who'd lost the photo in Iraq?
That's Drake, she said from behind him.
My brother.
Tebow turned.
Younger or older?
A year younger. She handed him the glass of lemonade without further comment, and Tebow sensed that the subject was closed. She took a step toward the front door.
Let's go sit on the porch. I've been inside all day, and besides, I want to keep an eye on Ben. He has a tendency to wander.
Elizabeth took a seat on the steps out front. The sun drilled down through the clouds, but the shade from the porch stretched to cover them. Elizabeth tucked a strand of hair behind her ear.
Sorry, this is the best I can do.
I've been trying to talk Nana into getting a porch swing, but she says it's too country. In the distance, Ben and Zeus were running through the grass, Ben laughing as he tried to grab for the stick in Zeus's mouth. Elizabeth smiled.
I'm glad to see him getting his energy out.
He had his first violin lesson today, so he didn't have a chance after school.
Did he enjoy it?
He liked it, or at least he said he did. She turned toward him.
Did you like it when you were a kid?
Most of the time, until I got older anyway.
Let me guess. Then you got interested in girls and sports?
Don't forget cars.
Typical, she groaned.
But normal. I'm just excited because it was his choice. He's always been interested in music, and his teacher is a gem. She's got all the patience in the world.
That's good, and it'll be good for him.
She pretended to scrutinize him.
I don't know why. But I see you as more of an electric guitar player than someone who played the violin.
Because I walked from Colorado?
Don't forget your hair.
I had a buzz cut for years.
And then your clippers went on strike, right?
Something like that. She smiled and reached for her glass. In the silence that followed, Tebow took in the view. Across the yard, a flock of starlings broke from the trees, moving in unison before settling again on the opposite side. Puffy clouds drifted past, changing shape as they moved in the afternoon breeze, and he could sense Elizabeth watching him. "You don't feel the need to talk all the time, do you?" she said. He smiled. "No. Most people don't know how to appreciate silence. They can't help talking." "I talk. I just want to have something to say first." "You're going to have a tough time in Hampton. Most people around here either talk about their family, their neighbors, the weather, or the championship prospects of the high school football team." "Yeah?" "It gets boring." He nodded. "I can see that." He took another drink, finishing his glass. "So how does the football team look this year?" She laughed. "Exactly." She reached for his glass. "Would you like more?" "No, I'm fine, thank you. Very refreshing." She set his glass beside hers. "Homemade. Nana squeezed the lemons herself." He nodded. "I notice she has a forearm like Popeye." She circled the rim of her glass with her finger, secretly admitting to herself that she liked his wit. "So I guess it'll be just you and me this weekend." "What about Ben?" "He's going to see his father tomorrow. He goes every other weekend." "Yeah?" She sighed. "But he doesn't want to go. He never wants to go." Thibault nodded, studying Ben from a distance. "Nothing to say?" she prodded. "I'm not sure what I should say." "But if you would have said something..." "I would have said that Ben probably has a good reason." "And I would have said you're right." "You two don't get along?" Thibault asked carefully. "Actually, we get along okay. Not great, mind you, but okay. It's Ben and his dad who don't get along. My ex has problems with Ben," she said. "I think he wanted a different kind of kid." "Why do you let Ben go, then?" His gaze focused on her with surprising intensity. "Because I don't have a choice." "There's always a choice." "Not in this case, there isn't." She leaned off to the side, plucking a marigold from beside the stairs. "The dad has joint custody, and if I tried to fight him on it, let's just say the courts would probably rule in his favor. If anything, Ben would probably have to go even more than he does now." "That doesn't sound fair." "It isn't, but for now, there's not much else I can do but tell Ben to try to make the best of it." "I get the sense there's a lot more to the story." She laughed. "You have no idea." "Want to talk about it?" "Not really." Whatever urge Thibault might have had to press further was contained by the sight of Ben walking toward the porch. He was drenched in sweat, his face red. His glasses were slightly crooked. Zeus trailed behind, panting hard.
"Hey, Mom!"
"Hi, sweetie. Did you have a good time?"
Zeus lapped at Thibault's hand before collapsing at his feet.
"Zeus is great. Did you see us playing keep away?"
"Of course," she said, drawing Ben close. She ran a hand through his hair.
"You look hot. You should drink some water."
"I will. Are Thibault and Zeus staying for dinner?"
"We haven't talked about it." Ben pushed his glasses up on his nose, oblivious to the fact that they were cockeyed.
"We're having tacos," he announced to Thibault. "They're awesome. Mom makes her own salsa and everything."
"I'm sure they are," Thibault said, his tone neutral.
"We'll talk about it, okay?"
She brushed the grass from his shirt.
"Now go on, get some water, and don't forget to wash up." "I want to play hide-and-go-seek with Zeus," Ben whined. "Thibault said I could."
"Like I said, we'll talk about it," Elizabeth said.
"Can Zeus come inside with me? He's thirsty, too."
"Let's leave him out here, okay? We'll get him some water. What happened to your glasses?" Ignoring Ben's protests, she slid them off.
"It'll only take a second."
She bent the frame, examined her handiwork, and bent them once more before handing them back to him.
"Try them now."
Ben's eyes darted toward Thibault as he put them on. Thibault pretended not to notice. Instead, he petted Zeus as the dog lay quietly next to him. Elizabeth leaned back to get a better view.
"Perfect," she said.
"Okay," Ben conceded. He headed up the stairs, pulled open the screen door, and let it close with a loud bang. When he was gone, Elizabeth turned to Thibault.
I embarrassed him.
That's what mothers do.
Thanks, she said, not hiding the sarcasm. Now what's this about Zeus and hide-and-go-seek?
Oh, I told him about it when we were down at the creek. He was asking what Zeus could do, and I mentioned it, but we don't have to do it tonight.
No, that's fine, she said, reaching for her glass of lemonade.
She rattled the ice cubes, debating, before finally turning toward him.
Would you like to stay for dinner?
He met her eyes. Yeah, he said. I'd like that very much.
It's only tacos, she qualified.
I heard, and thank you. Tacos sound like a treat. He smiled before standing. But for now, let me get this guy some water. And he's probably hungry, too. Would you mind if I got him some food from the kennel?
Of course not. There's plenty.
Someone just unloaded a bunch of bags yesterday.
Who could that have been?
I don't know. Some long-haired drifter, I think. I thought he was a college-educated veteran.
Same thing.
Picking up the glasses, she rose as well.
I'm going to make sure Ben washed up. He tends to forget to do that.
See you in a few minutes. At the kennel, Tebow filled Zeus's bowls with water and food, then took a seat on one of the empty cages, waiting. Zeus took his time, drinking a bit, then nibbling at a few bites of his food, peering occasionally over at Tebow as if to ask,
"Why are you watching me?"
Tebow said nothing. He knew that any comment would slow Zeus down even more. Instead, he checked the other kennels, even though Elizabeth had said she'd already done so, making sure none of the other dogs were low on water. They weren't. Nor did they stir much. Good. He turned out the lights in the office and locked the door before returning to the house. Zeus trailed behind him, his nose to the ground. At the door, he motioned for Zeus to lie down and stay, then pulled open the screen door.
Hello? Come on in. I'm in the kitchen.
Tebow stepped inside and made his way to the kitchen. Elizabeth had put on an apron and was standing at the stove, browning ground beef. On the counter beside her was an open bottle of Michelob Light.
Where's Ben? Tebow asked. He's in the shower. He should be down in a couple of minutes.
She added some packaged taco seasoning and water to the beef, then rinsed her hands. After drying them on the front of her apron, she reached for her beer.
Would you like one? I always have a beer on taco night.
I'd love one. She pulled a beer from the refrigerator and handed it to him.
It's light. It's all I have.
Thank you. He leaned against the counter and took in the kitchen. In some ways, it reminded him of the one in the house he'd rented. Cabinets original with the house, stainless steel sink, older appliances, and a small dining room set pushed beneath the window, but all in slightly better condition, with women's touches here and there. Flowers in a vase, a bowl of fruit, window treatments. Homey. From the refrigerator, Elizabeth pulled out some lettuce and tomatoes, along with a block of cheddar cheese, and put them on the counter. She followed that with green peppers and onions, moved the whole lot to the butcher block, then pulled out a knife and cheese grater from a counter drawer. She started slicing and dicing the onion, her movements quick and fluid.
Need a hand?
She shot him a skeptical look.
Don't tell me that in addition to training dogs, fixing cars, and being a musician, you're an expert chef.
I wouldn't go that far, but I know my way around the kitchen. I make dinner every night.
Oh, yeah? What did you have last night?
Turkey sandwich on wheat, with a pickle.
And the night before?
Turkey sandwich on wheat. No pickle. She giggled.
What was the last hot meal you cooked?
He pretended to rack his brains.
Beans and Franks on Monday.
She feigned amazement.
I stand corrected. How are you at grating cheese?
In that, I would consider myself an expert.
Okay, she said. There's a bowl in the cupboard over there, beneath the blender. And you don't need to do the whole block. Ben usually has two tacos, and I have only one. Anything more would be for you.
Tebow set his beer on the counter and retrieved the bowl from the cupboard. Then he moved to the sink to wash his hands and unwrap the block of cheese.
He snuck glances at Elizabeth as he worked. Finished with the onion, she'd already moved on to the green pepper. The tomato came next. The knife danced steadily, the movements precise.
You do that so quickly.
She answered without breaking the rhythm of her movements.
There was a while there when I dreamed of opening my own restaurant.
When was that?
When I was 15. For my birthday, I even asked for the Ginsu knife.
You mean the one that used to be advertised on late-night television? Where the guy in the commercial uses it to cut through a tin can?
She nodded. That's the one.
Did you get it?
It's the knife I'm using now.
He smiled.
I've never known anyone who actually admitted to buying one.
Now you do, she said. She stole a quick look at him.
I had this dream about opening this great place in Charleston or Savannah and having my own cookbooks and television show. Crazy, I know. But anyway, I spent the summer practicing my dicing. I'd dice everything I could, as fast as I could, until I was as fast as the guy in the commercial. There were Tupperware bowls filled with zucchini and carrots and squash that I picked from the garden. It drove Nana crazy, since it meant we had to have summer stew just about every single day.
What's summer stew?
Anything mixed together that can be served over noodles or rice.
He smiled as he shifted a pile of grated cheese to the side. Then what happened?
Summer ended, and we ran out of vegetables.
Ah, he said, wondering how someone could look so pretty in an apron.
Okay, she said, pulling another pot from under the stove. Let me whip up the salsa.
She poured in a large can of tomato sauce, then added the onions, peppers, and a dash of Tabasco, along with salt and pepper. She stirred them together and set the heat on medium.
Your own recipe?
Nana's. Ben doesn't like things too spicy, so this is what she came up with. Finished with the cheese, Thibault rewrapped it.
What else?
Not much. I just have to shred some lettuce, and that's it.
Oh, and heat up the shells in the oven. I'll let the meat and the salsa simmer for a bit.
How about I do the shells? She handed him a cookie sheet and turned on the oven.
Just spread the shells out a little. Three for us and however many you want for you. But don't put them in yet. We still have a few minutes. Ben likes the shells fresh out of the oven.
Thibault did as she requested, and she finished with the lettuce at about the same time. She put three plates on the counter. Picking up her beer again, she motioned toward the door.
Come out back. I want to show you something.
Thibault followed her out, then stopped short as he took in the view from the covered deck. Enclosed by a hedge lay a series of cobblestone paths that wove among several circular brick planters, each with its own dogwood tree. In the center of the yard, serving as a focal point, was a three-tiered fountain that fed a large koi pond.
Wow, he murmured. This is gorgeous. And you never knew it was here, right?
It is pretty spectacular, but you should see it in the spring. Every year, Nana and I plant a few thousand tulips, daffodils, and lilies, and they start blooming right after the azaleas and dogwoods. From March through July, this garden is one of the most beautiful places on earth. And over there, behind that lower hedge, she pointed toward the right, that's the home of our illustrious vegetable and herb garden.
Nana never mentioned she gardened.
She wouldn't.
It was something she and Grandpa shared, kind of like their little secret.
Because the kennel is right there, they wanted to make this a kind of oasis where they could escape the business, the dogs, the owners, even their employees. Of course, Drake and I, and then Ben and I, pitched in. But for the most part, it was theirs. It was the one project at which Grandpa really excelled. After he died, Nana decided to keep it up in his memory.
It's incredible, he said.
It is, isn't it? It wasn't so great when we were kids. Unless we were planting bulbs, we weren't allowed to play back here. All our birthday parties were on the lawn out front that separates the house from the kennel, which meant that for 2 days beforehand, we'd have to scoop up all the poop so no one would accidentally step in it. I can see how that would be a party stopper.
Hey!
A voice rang out from the kitchen.
Where are you guys?
Elizabeth turned at the sound of Ben's voice.
Out here, sweetie. I'm showing Mr. Tebow the backyard.
Ben stepped outside, dressed in a black T-shirt and camouflage pants.
Where's Zeus? I'm ready for him to find me.
Let's eat first. We'll do that after dinner.
Mom?
It'll be better when it's dark anyway, Tebow interjected. That way you can really hide. It'll be more fun for Zeus, too.
What do you want to do until then?
Your Nana said you played chess. Ben looked skeptical.
You know how to play chess?
Maybe not as good as you, but I know how to play.
Okay.
He scratched at his arm.
Hey, where did you say Zeus was?
On the porch out front.
Can I go play with him?
You'll have to set the table first, Elizabeth instructed him. And you'll only have a couple of minutes. Dinner's almost ready.
Okay,
he said, turning around.
Thanks.
As he raced off, she leaned around Tebow and cupped her mouth with her hands.
Don't forget the table!
Ben skidded to a halt. He opened a drawer and grabbed three forks, then threw them onto the table like a dealer in Vegas, followed by the plates Elizabeth had set aside earlier. In all, it took him less than 10 seconds, and the table showed it, before he vanished from view. When he was gone, Elizabeth shook her head. Until Zeus got here, Ben used to be a quiet, easygoing child after school. He used to read and study, and now all he wants to do is chase your dog. Tebow made a guilty face. Sorry.
Don't be. Believe me.
I like a little calmness as much as the next mother, but it's nice to see him so excited. Why don't you get him his own dog?
I will, in time.
Once I see how things go with Nana. She took a sip of beer and nodded toward the house.
Let's go check on dinner. I think the oven's probably ready.
Back inside, Elizabeth slipped the cookie sheet into the oven and stirred the meat and salsa before ladling both into bowls. As she brought them to the table along with a stack of paper napkins, Tebow straightened the silverware and plates and grabbed the cheese, lettuce, and tomatoes. As she set her beer on the table, Tebow was struck again by her natural beauty.
Do you want to call Ben, or should I?
He forced himself to turn away. I'll call Ben, he said. Ben was sitting on the front porch, stroking a panting Zeus from his forehead to his tail in one long stroke. You tired him out, Tebow observed.
I run pretty fast, Ben agreed.
You ready to eat? Dinner's on the table. Ben got up and Zeus raised his head. Stay here, Tebow said. Zeus's ears flattened as if he were being punished, but he laid his head back down as Ben and Tebow entered the house. Elizabeth was already seated at the table. As soon as Ben and Tebow sat down, Ben immediately started loading his taco with the seasoned ground beef.
I want to hear more about your walk across the country, Elizabeth said.
Yeah, me too, Ben said, spooning on salsa.
Tebow reached for his napkin and spread it on his lap. What would you like to know? She flourished her napkin.
Why don't you start at the beginning?
For a moment, Tebow considered the truth, that it began with a photograph in the Kuwaiti desert, but he couldn't tell them about that. Instead, he started by describing a cold March morning, when he'd slung his backpack over his arm and started down the shoulder of the road. He told them about the things he saw. For Ben's sake, he made sure to describe all the wildlife he'd encountered. And he talked about some of the more colorful people he'd encountered. Elizabeth seemed to realize that he wasn't accustomed to talking so much about himself, so she prompted him by asking him questions whenever he seemed to be running out of things to say. From there, she asked him a bit more about college and was amused when Ben learned that the man sitting at the table actually dug up real-life skeletons. Ben asked a few questions of his own.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
No. Did you play sports?
Yeah, but I was average, not great.
What's your favorite football team?
The Denver Broncos, of course.
As Ben and Tebow chatted, Elizabeth followed their exchange with amusement and interest. As the evening wore on, the sunlight slanting through the window shifted and waned, dimming the kitchen. They finished eating, and after excusing himself, Ben rejoined Zeus on the porch. Tebow helped Elizabeth clean up the table, wrapping the leftovers and stacking plates and silverware in the dishwasher. Breaking her own rule, Elizabeth opened a second beer and offered another to Tebow before they escaped the heat of the kitchen and went outside. On the porch, the air felt noticeably cooler and a breeze made the leaves on the trees dance. Ben and Zeus were playing again, and Ben's laughter hung suspended in the air. Elizabeth leaned on the railing, watching her son, and Tebow had to force himself not to stare in her direction. Neither of them felt the need to speak, and Tebow took a long, slow pull of his beer, wondering where on earth all of this was going. Chapter 12. Beth. As night fell, Beth stood on the back deck, watching Logan concentrate on the chessboard in front of him, thinking, I like him. The thought, when it struck her, felt at once surprising and natural. Ben and Logan were on their second game of chess, and Logan was taking his time on his next move. Ben had handily won the first game, and she could read the surprise in Logan's expression. He took it well, even asking Ben what he'd done wrong. They'd reset the board to an earlier position, and Ben showed Logan the series of errors he had made, first with his rook and queen, and then, finally, with his knight. Well, I'll be, Logan had said. He'd smiled at Ben. Good job. She didn't even want to imagine how Keith would have reacted had he lost. In fact, she didn't have to imagine it. They'd played once a couple of years ago, and when Ben won, Keith had literally flipped the board over before storming out of the room. A few minutes later, while Ben was still gathering the pieces from behind the furniture, Keith came back into the room. Instead of apologizing, he declared that chess was a waste of time, and that Ben would be better off doing something important, like studying for his classes at school or going to the batting cage, since he hit about as well as a blind man. She really wanted to strangle the man sometimes. With Logan, though, things were different. Beth could see that Logan was in trouble again. She couldn't tell by looking at the board. The intricacies that separated the good from the great players were beyond her. But whenever Ben studied his opponent rather than his pieces, she knew the end was coming, even if Logan didn't seem to realize it. What she loved most about the scene was that despite the concentration the game required, Logan and Ben still managed to talk about school and Ben's teachers and what Zeus had been like when he was a puppy. And because Logan seemed genuinely interested, Ben revealed a few things that surprised her, that one of the other boys in his class had taken his lunch a couple of times, and that Ben had a crush on a girl named Cece. Logan didn't deliver advice. Instead, he asked Ben what he thought he should do. Based on her experience with men, most assume that when you talk to them about a problem or dilemma, they were expected to offer an opinion, even when all you wanted was for them to listen. Logan's natural reticence actually seemed to give Ben room to express himself. It was clear that Logan was comfortable with who he was. He wasn't trying to impress Ben or impress her by showing how well he could get along with Ben. Though she dated infrequently over the years, she'd found that most suitors either pretended Ben didn't exist and said only a few words to him, or went overboard in the way they talked to him, trying to prove how wonderful they were by being overly friendly with her son. From an early age, Ben had seen through both types almost immediately. So had she. And that was usually enough for her to end things. Well, when they weren't ending the relationship with her, that is. It was obvious that Ben liked spending time with Logan, and even better, she got the sense that Logan liked spending time with Ben. In the silence, Logan continued to stare at the board, his finger resting momentarily on his knight before moving it to his pawn. Ben's eyebrows rose ever so slightly. She didn't know whether Ben thought the move Logan was considering was a good one or a bad one, but Logan went ahead and moved the pawn forward. Ben made his next move almost immediately, something she recognized as a bad sign for Logan. And a few minutes later, Logan seemed to realize that no matter what move he made, there was no way for his king to escape. He shook his head.
You got me.
Yeah, Ben confirmed. I did.
I thought I was playing better.
You were,
Ben said. Until?
Until you made your second move.
Logan laughed. Chess humor?
We've got lots of jokes like that,
Ben said, obviously proud. He motioned to the yard.
Is it dark enough?
Yeah, I think so. You ready to play Zeus? Zeus's ears pricked up and he cocked his head. When Logan and Ben stood, Zeus scrambled to his feet.
You coming, Mom?
Beth rose from her chair.
I'm right behind you.
They wended their way in the darkness to the front of the house. Beth paused by the front steps.
Maybe I should get a flashlight.
That's cheating,
Ben complained.
Not for the dog, for you, so you don't get lost.
He won't get lost, Logan assured her. Zeus will find him.
Easy to say when it's not your son.
I'll be fine,
Ben added. She looked from Ben to Logan before shaking her head. She wasn't entirely comfortable, but Logan didn't seem worried at all.
Okay, she said, sighing. I want one for me, then. Is that okay?
Okay, Ben agreed.
What do I do?
Hide, Logan said, and I'll send Zeus to find you.
Anywhere I want?
Why don't you hide out that way, Logan said, pointing toward a wooded area west of the creek on the opposite side of the driveway from the kennel. I don't want you accidentally slipping into the creek. And besides, your scent will be fresh out that way. Remember, you two were playing out this way before dinner. Now, once he finds you, just follow him out, okay? That way you won't get lost. Ben peered toward the woods.
Okay. How do I know he won't watch?
I'll put him inside and count to 100 before I let him out.
And you won't let him peek?
Promise. Logan focused his attention on Zeus.
Come,
he said. He went to the door and opened it before pausing. Is it okay if I let him in? Beth nodded.
It's fine.
Logan motioned for Zeus to go in and lie down, then closed the door.
Okay, you're ready.
Ben started to jog toward the woods as Logan began to count out loud. In mid-stride, Ben called over his shoulder,
Count slower!
His figure gradually merged into the darkness, and even before reaching the woods, he'd vanished from sight. Beth crossed her arms.
I must say that I don't have a good feeling about this.
Why not?
My son hiding in the woods at night? Gee, I wonder.
He'll be fine. Zeus will find him in 2 or 3 minutes, at the most.
You have an inordinate amount of faith in your dog.
Logan smiled, and for a moment they stood on the porch, taking in the evening. The air, warm and humid but no longer hot, smelled like the land itself. A mixture of oak and pine and earth, an odor that never failed to remind Beth that even though the world was constantly changing, this particular place always seemed to stay the same. She was aware that Logan had been observing her all night, trying hard not to stare, and she knew she'd been doing the same with him. She realized she liked the way Logan's intent made her feel. She was pleased he found her attractive, but liked that his attraction didn't possess any of the urgency or naked desire she often felt when men stared at her. Instead, he seemed content simply to stand beside her, and for whatever reason, it was exactly what she needed.
I'm glad you stayed for dinner, she offered, not knowing what to say. Ben's having a great time.
I'm glad, too.
You were so good with him in there, playing chess, I mean.
It's not hard.
You wouldn't think so, right?
He hesitated. Are we talking about your ex again?
Am I that obvious?
She leaned against a post.
You're right, though. I am talking about my ex, the putz.
He leaned against the post on the opposite side of the stairs, facing her. And?
And I just wish things could be different.
He hesitated, and she knew he was wondering whether or not to say anything more. In the end, he said nothing.
You wouldn't like him, she volunteered. In fact, I don't think he'd like you either.
No?
No.
And consider yourself lucky. You're not missing anything. He looked at her steadily, not saying anything, remembering the way she had shut him down earlier, she supposed. She brushed away a few strands of hair that had fallen into her eyes, wondering whether to go on.
Do you want to hear about it?
Only if you want to tell me, he offered. She felt her thoughts drifting from the present to the past and sighed.
It's the oldest story in the book. I was a nerdy high school senior. He was a couple of years older than me. But we'd gone to the same church for as long as I can remember, so I knew exactly who he was. We started going out a few months before I graduated. His family is well off, and he'd always dated the most popular girls. And I guess I just got caught up in the fantasy of it all. I overlooked some obvious problems, made excuses for others, and the next thing you know, I found out I was pregnant. All of a sudden, my life just changed, you know? I wasn't going to college that fall. I had no idea how to even be a mother, let alone a single mother. I couldn't imagine how I was going to pull it all off. The last thing in the world I expected was for him to propose. But for whatever reason, he did, and I said yes. And even though I wanted to believe that it was all going to work out, and did my best to convince Nana that I knew what I was doing, I think both of us knew it was a mistake before the ink was dry on the marriage certificate. We had virtually nothing in common. Anyway, we argued pretty much constantly, and ended up separating soon after Ben was born. And then I was really lost.
Logan brought his hands together. But it didn't stop you.
Stop me from what?
From eventually going to college and becoming a teacher and figuring out how to be a single mother. He smiled. And somehow, pulling it off. She gave a grateful smile.
With Nana's help.
Whatever it takes. He crossed one leg over the other, seeming to study her before he smirked.
Nerdy, huh? In high school? Oh, yeah. I was definitely nerdy.
I find that hard to believe.
Believe what you want.
So how did college work?
With Ben, you mean? It wasn't easy. But I already had some AP credits, which gave me a bit of a head start. And then I took classes at the community college while Ben was still in diapers. I took classes only 2 or 3 days a week while Nana took care of Ben. And I'd come home and study when I wasn't being Mom. Same thing when I transferred to UNC Wilmington, which was close enough to go to school and make it back here at night. It took me 6 years to get my degree and certificate, but I didn't want to take advantage of Nana, and I didn't want to give my ex any reason to get full custody. And back then, he might have tried for it, just because he could.
He sounds like a charmer. She grimaced.
You have no idea.
You want me to beat him up?
She laughed. That's funny.
There might have been a time when I would have taken you up on that, but not anymore.
He's just immature. He thinks every woman he meets is crazy for him, gets angry at little things and blames other people when things go wrong. 31 going on 16, if you know what I mean.
From the side, she could sense Logan watching her.
But enough about him. Tell me something about you.
Like what?
Anything. I don't know. Why did you major in anthropology?
He considered the question. Personality, I guess.
What does that mean?
I knew I didn't want to major in anything practical, like business or engineering. And toward the end of my freshman year, I started talking to other liberal arts majors. The most interesting ones I met were anthropology majors. I wanted to be interesting.
You're kidding.
I'm not. That's why I took the first introductory classes, at least. After that, I realized that anthropology is a